Hello and welcome to Geek History Lexan Extra. I can speak. This is the extra podcast that you pay for because you're amusing, amazing, beautiful, sexy patrons. Yep. Who support us here. We just finished getting through our Queensguard episode and Rachel Cushing has rejoined me. Rachel, really quick, where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Rachel J. Cushing. Look me up.
That's right. Send her cute Game of Thrones gifts. Yay. Share your Kingsguard or your Queensguard with her. Only nice things. Rachel, on the podcast, we talked a lot about Game of Thrones, A Song of Ice and Fire, and we alluded a lot to the 500,000 spinoff shows that HBO has greenlit. I want to know, what would you like to see from a Game of Thrones spinoff?
When HBO announced that they had like five or six pitches in the works.
Yeah.
I knew right off the bat what I didn't want.
Okay.
And that was Robert's Rebellion or anything that close in history. Like Martin has written, you know, vaguely speaking, almost like 10,000 years worth of history. Turns out it might be closer to 5,000 to 8,000, but still, it's there's just so much there in A History of Ice and Fire and Fire and Blood, with which just came out, plus just so many mentions in the main novel series about such deep history. There's just so many possible choices. Originally, I did love the idea of seeing the Dance of the Dragons, which is, he's already very extensively written about in those books that I mentioned, plus several short stories, The Princess and the Queen, and another one. And I liked it so much because at several points during the Targaryen 300 years that they ruled in Westeros, they had some lineage issues, and they largely revolved around women. So a daughter was born first. Uh-oh. Like, is she next in line?
God
or do
forbid.
We wait? I know. Like, there's, you know, they're a little old-fashioned, these Targs. And and in the Dance of the Dragons, Viserys the First, he had a beloved daughter, Rhaenyra.
Yes.
And
whose name I can't say.
And she, and he declared it. He said, she will be queen after me. Then her mother died and he remarried and had a son with the second wife. And those scheming Hightowers and scheming other people wanted to set that son, Aegon,
didn't
who
you
became
say
Aegon
you
the second.
Hightower?
Yeah. They wanted to set him above Rhaenyra. And so a giant civil war broke out called the Dance of the Dragons. And some of the coolest characters, Daemon Targaryen and Corlys Velaryon and, you know, many, many others, were a part of this series of battles in this war, and it devastated the Targaryens, devastated the dragons, who died out soon thereafter. But there's so much material and so much visual material that I felt like that'd be really cool. Outside of that, my other choice was to go back much further and do the Tale of Nymeria. Who was the queen of the Rhoynar, and we're thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. And she...
is she post Bran the Builder, or is that
that's
around?
Post, yeah. Okay. Bran the Builder is Age of Heroes, so...
I'm never quite sure when it ends.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and Bran the Builder is such this mythological figure that which I think we're going to get in the actual prequel show that we're about to get. I think Bran the Builder will be a character
I think he is the focal point of that, and so which just sparked a current debate about, like, is that Brandon Stark from
the theory,
I guess, modern times,
yeah, the theory,
like,
that
as
he
projected,
travels back,
yeah.
And all he's been all the Brandon Starks. It's an interesting theory, and I'm not sure I love it particularly because I don't
I
need
agree.
The direct
I agree.
Tie-in. I know that Brandon the Builder is not the mythological figure that did all the things he's attributed to have doing. That's not possible in
just
one
like
lifetime.
Real life.
but the idea of who's the man behind the myth is, I think, very cool. And a Stark, and you need a Stark in the show if you're going to do Westeros. But my pitch for Nymeria is that it's not really about Westeros. It's, you know, the Valyrians were at the height of their empire. They were conquering everybody left and right, and they were working their way up through the countries in Essos, up the Rhoyne River and into the Rhoynar territories, and they succeeded in defeating the Rhoynar. And Nymeria, who is basically the last princess, gathered everybody who was left, built the quote unquote thousand ships mm-hmm. and sailed them away to find them another piece of land so that the Rhoynar could continue.
Was that around the same time that Cassandra Targaryen, I believe, was making all of her crazy predictions?
No, this is earlier than that. So there probably was a Targaryen family on Valyria at this point, but they're not necessarily
those
the
Targaryens.
Only ones at this point. There's plenty of other Valyrian families. But she spent, you know, 30, 40 years, you know, taking her people to one island and then, you know, a disease taking out a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. So they have to move on and they go to another one where a bunch of them are kidnapped and turned into slaves. And then they go to another one. They keep traveling until they ultimately end up in Dorne.
Mm-hmm.
And she falls in love with, I believe it's Mors Martell. Forgive me if I forget which Martell it is. And marries into the Martell family.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the, you know, the sort of the origin of the makeup of the current Dornish population.
Mm.
So there's so many stories to tell. There's so many locations in that. There's a lot of cool people that you could, you know, extrapolate from that. And to me, whereas Dance of the Dragons has been spelled out in a lot of ways and you've got a story to follow, something like Nymeria is sketched out in a broad way, but writers could bring a lot to the table and something interesting to the table, very much like what they're going to do with this Age of Heroes show, which is something I really am excited about. Like, I'm excited that it's a sketched out idea or piece of history from Martin, and now he and the other writers and Jane Chapman and everybody involved with the show get to go in there and really flesh it out and come up with some cool things that I don't know what's coming. Mm-hmm. As a huge Uber fan, the fact that I don't know what it's going to be is kind of cool.
Is there any part of you that would want to see a sequel, like the children or grandchildren or great grandchildren of the cast that we're familiar with from Game of Thrones? Or are you more interested in the mythology of the world?
I'm more interested in the mythology of the world because I've always felt that there is going to be a definitive end to this show, mm-hmm. and that anything that happened after would sort of negate the impact of the definitiveness of the show, if that makes sense. Like, I've always predicted, and I've said this since I read the books and multiple times about the show, I think that, and I've been accused of, oh, that sounds like Lord of the Rings. I'm like, yeah, you're not wrong. I think that the cataclysmic...
Yeah, but also, duh, what do you think inspired it?
Right. But I think the cataclysmic battle for the dawn that's going to happen, you know, with this second long night in the final season of the show and the final books is going to end when the dust settles. Mm-hmm. Magic is gone. Mm-hmm. Magic is done. Dragons mm-hmm. are dead. White Walkers are dead. Most of the cast of characters that we know and love are dead.
Reddit spoilers are true, then that's definitely happening.
It just makes sense to me. Like, that's the logical mm-hmm. way to take this,
especially if it's supposed to be a pseudo prehistory, and we do know that, again, like Lord of the Rings, mm-hmm. it's very heavily based in or inspired by real world events.
Sure.
If we're supposed to believe that Westeros is in some abstract way Europe, it would make sense that we would come down with maybe a little less magic and a little less psychic powers in the world.
And I just feel like when you have a character like Daenerys who's on a mission to quote unquote break the wheel,
mm-hmm.
that breaking the wheel is actually going to be what is accomplished. I don't think she's going to survive it, and I don't think it's going to happen in the way that she anticipated, but I do think it's going to happen in the sense that the world is going to be a very different place once it's all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what characters survive and what their offspring bring next is going would to me feel like a betrayal of that sort of definitive end, and because they would have to come up with the next set of drama and the next mm-hmm. set of peril, and you know, and I feel like that's unnecessary, especially when you have the thousands and thousands of years worth of history, including bits of history that are not fleshed out and are full of possibility to surprise and entertain even Uber fans. Like, there's so much there that it's not necessary to go the sequel route. I think prequel makes more sense.
I think if he makes it alive, I think we will get a Tyrion pitch because love
everybody
Peter
wants
Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage. It's true.
The big rumors that I've heard since maybe the third season of the show, when it got like really, really popular, was always Age of Heroes, Robert's Rebellion. Mm-hmm. And then when they cast the younger version of Ned for the flashback where we saw baby John, you guys can delude yourself all you want. That's who it is. everyone's like, oh, this guy, who's going to play Ned. Yeah. And then I've always heard for a long time that there was an Arya pitch in development, which I'm going to be honest, I don't think Arya is making it out of the show alive.
She's one of the characters I can't really see doing it either.
I will be so crushed.
Yeah. Well, that's Martin for you, and that's a show for you. Like, we should be crushed when this is all said and done. And all of the cast has come out and said it's a very bittersweet ending, and that to me is right.
Mm-hmm,
and I
mm-hmm.
think that I don't think Danny survives. I don't think John survives. Honestly, Tyrion's on the bubble for me. If it wasn't
I could
for
see a Tyrion being the one to survive.
I could, especially when he had that speech about, like, when this is all said and done, I'd like to have my own little vineyard on the arbor off the coast of the reach there. And I sort of was like, that's one of those things when a character says something that it usually signals death, but this is Game of Thrones, so this could actually be the weird twist that he actually gets that.
I could also see a little cyclical thing. I mean, I think Dany's pregnant next season.
Interesting.
And I think she's gonna have a little fire snow baby. And I think because she was born in a storm, the mm-hmm. baby is gonna be born during a battle or in a storm, and I think Tyrion is gonna run away with the baby.
I could get behind that.
That's my big conspiracy theory about how Game of Thrones is gonna end. And also because there's been so much death and destruction, I think one character deserves a happy ending.
I agree.
And he's been, I mean, except maybe for Theon, and Theon is gonna get no happiness, so I will just love him.
Which is why he's going to survive.
Nobody
to me.
Else loves yeah. him.
No, I think that is, I don't love him, but I think it's a fantastic character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and Alfie Allen kills
it. I think he
it.
Is so underrated.
He honestly might be the best actor on that show.
Because he's not as, like, classically good looking as Kit Harington.
Right, it's not about being good looking for
who
Theon,
plays
though.
Rob?
Richard Madden.
There you go, Richard Madden. Check out Bodyguard on Netflix. It's great. I think he's really underrated, and he's such a wonderful actor.
It just makes, that character makes sense. Everything, every move that, when he jumped off the ship when his sister was taken, I'm like, yes, that's exactly what Theon would do. Thank you for getting that right. He's not ready to come full circle on a hero's journey here.
No,
he's not a hero.
I don't
he
think
just
he
isn't.
Ever will.
No, I think that, like, he's still, like, I love that he's going after her and he's going to make an attempt, but that moment was exactly right because of the PTSD, the fact that he's just a cowardly person in general, and you cannot, you know, fully 100% overcome that and be a completely different person. Not really. And I just like the story, like, honors that in a way that I think is very realistic, because change is hard. Bottom line,
true facts. With that truth bomb from Rachel, mm-hmm. Can you remind our listeners, in case they forgot, from the main podcast, where they can get more Game of Thrones from you and Mr. Ken Knopsack?
Of course, yeah. If you guys are interested in some deep diving Game of Thrones talk, Ken Knopsack is starting a new, or he started a new podcast on his feed called Casterly Talk. So you can look that up. It's on, you know, all the podcast things out there. I don't know much about this stuff. I just guest on the podcast. And
we just like you for your talent.
Thank you very much. I come in, I record, and then I leave. But Lon Harris, Andres Cabrera, and some other Game of Thrones geeks will be joining him from time to time, certainly when the new season starts, but also to discuss things like Fire and Blood and the new show, the prequel that's in pre-production and all of that stuff. So yeah, that's where I will be talking Game of Thrones for the foreseeable future.
Fabulous. Support Rachel. Thank you for supporting us here on Patreon. We hope you enjoyed this Geek History Lesson Extra. We never know how to end this, so goodbye.